Good evening and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, Dutch Townsgate. Well, I know that President Trump said that he would revoke the status of the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, because of the cats that they ate and the dog that they ate. Now, I'm given to understand they ate one dog, and it's important to get these facts down and to get the fact out that President Trump, President Trump, ate a dog? No, he didn't. He said the Haitians did.
He said the Haitians did, not he did not. He didn't.
That's what I'm trying to say. That he said, and it's a he said, she said, I suppose, but he said that they ate a dog and they ate a cat, and they ate the cat and the dog of the people that live there. Now, I am not willing to get into a shouting match over this and whether or not the people of Springfield, Ohio, eat a dog or eat a cat. But it would occur to me to ask, why would they do that, you know? Why?
In the Haitian state.
He said the Haitians ate the dog. Well, in Springfield, Ohio, they have a community of Haitians, and they said they ate a dog, and they ate a cat of the people that live there. And it would be fine with me if a man is hungry and there's nothing for him to eat, and I suppose I don't have anything for him to eat, or I'm not answering the knock on the door. I don't know. If my dog is all that there is, I suppose it would be appropriate that he would want to eat it. And in that case, I would be lying to you if I said that I didn't want to eat it. My own dog. But if I was in a position where I had nothing to eat, and I couldn't get to a Vons or a Kroger, and there was nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Would I eat the cat and the dog of the people that lived there? And when I mean that, of the people in whatever house I'm in. If I was visiting a friend and I was in his house, would I be one of those that the President Trump, indicated that they'd eat the dog and the cat of the people that lived there? If I'm in a home and I can't get over to the Ralph's or the Piggly Wiggly, right? Because you don't know. And I'm starving to death. Starving to death. Would I eat the Piggly, not the Piggly, would I eat the Piggly Wiggly? What is it?
The cat.
Would I eat the cat and the dog of the people that lived in the house that I was in, that I was starving to death in? And the question is a valid one. Why don't I ask them for something to eat? But let's say they said, you can stay here, but you may not eat our food. May I borrow your car to drive to the Piggly Wiggly? No, you may not. I would be left with no choice but to eat the cat and the dog of the people what live there. And I think that's the essential point. You know, eat a cat and a dog, to eat the cat and the dog of the people of what live there. And in my case, if I lived there and I ate my own dog, I would be eating the cat of the people of the people who he lived there, meaning me.
Only it wouldn't be a cat, it would be the dog.
And only it wouldn't be the cat, I'd be eating the dog, because I don't have a cat. And I think that's what was said, and I think that's what get lost in the conversation. It's very vital here with a few days left before an election to roll the facts out as we know them and as we understand them to be. And I think that's important.
Dutch Townsgate. We'll be right back.
Would you like to know the best places to have a vacation? Great vacation spots around the world. The Dutch Townsgate vacation guide for the family. You really can't be without this. It's taken me years to write this thing at some of the finest resorts around the world. Dutch Townsgate's tour of the vacation spots of the world can be yours. $25.95 plus shipping and handling brings the price to $36, $37, but it is well worth it. And you send away for this address right now. Send away for Dutch Townsgate's 25 great vacation spots of the world at the Kroner Building, Chicago, Illinois. What if I told you that making a fart sound with your armpit could save your mind? This is Dutch Townsgate, and there was a time in my life when I didn't know where I was going. I had a very serious drinking problem. I had a very serious temper. I had a domestic violence problem. I thought I was going to lose my wife. I thought I would lose my career. And then I started to make fart sounds with my armpit using the Jerry Nocchini Home Mind Saver. I was making fart sounds with my armpit, and I was laughing for the first time in many, many years. I interrupted serious conversations between adults, acting like a child, acting like someone that people wanted to run over with a car. People wanted to push me out of the window of a moving aircraft. But at least I learned how to have a laugh and to save my mind and eventually to save my career. I really, really recommend this. It is the Mind Saver, and it's available now right here at Dutch Townsgate in the Kroner Building.
Send away for the Mind Saver, Dutch Townsgate here in the Kroner Building.
Just say I want the thing to make you make a fart sound with your armpit.
It's Dutch Townsgate.
Dutch Townsgate here. Oh, boy. On my program today, two of the dearest friends I've ever had is Robert Greene. Bob, hello.
Hey, Dutch.
From Anaheim, California, and also from Manchester, England, or actually London now. Miles, is that where you live?
Yes, I'm mostly in London. Mostly right now I'm in Hempstead.
And both of these guys are in the grocery business. More to the point, they're in the food supply business. And is there anything more important than the food supply question?
I think it's the most vital thing there is. You know, in the history of man, the most important guy is the farmer, followed by, I suppose, the man that collects the crops or that makes the food, processes the food, and on we go until we have the man who actually brings it to market, and then we have our consumers. So, but at the very center of that, Dutch, is the farmer, the man that grows it, and then, of course, the man that brings it to market.
Yeah, and also, there's all kinds of very important jobs, you know. Well, no doubt there's a lot of important jobs, but when it comes to just deliver the food, delivering the food's important, yes, it's been the pride of my life to have that job and to in partnership with people like Bob, to bring to the people, American people, the people of Europe, the best produce, the best meats, greens that we can find and that we can bring to market. Okay, now, Bob, you got out of the... you're still in the grocery business, right?
Yeah, but I sold the Fraser Foods brand, and it's now Bob Greene's Meats and Greens.
Bob Greene's Meats and Greens, okay. And, Miles, you are still in the... you're still in the meat delivery business. That's right, yes. And we don't do any... retail. We do all wholesale. We deliver to people such as Bob, who has a market, some small entities, sales entities like restaurants we might, but mostly it's to people like Bob. And then Bob, you're the middleman.
I'm the middleman, yeah.
Then Bob sends it on to the restaurants. Okay, that brings me to the Dutch Townsgate man in the middle. Because I'm the man in the middle here today now between Bob Greene and Miles Flanagan. And we're getting back to an old argument, aren't we?
Yes, we are, Dutch, because I will be the recipient. I will be a Miles number one customer with a new contract year of the great steaks and chops, the great meats that he delivers from Middle America. And we're very grateful for that.
But you wanted to... He wants to rig the game.
No, I don't want to rig the... What do you call rigging the game? I simply want to make sure the advertising message is not that juvenile, I deliver a load of meat to Bob, or to Bob Greene.
Right, but this is the problem. That's exactly what he did with Ted Bell.
Okay, but wait a minute. I understood Bob to say, when I heard what you guys were talking before the program, that he did not want to use the language, that he wasn't asking you not to use the language. I deliver a load of meat to Bob Green. It doesn't matter. Is that right, Bob?
That's not as concerning to me as Bob Green takes my meat.
Well, all right, but that's not what you agreed to. So here is the rub, that Bob Green doesn't mind saying you deliver a load of meat to Bob Green. Bob Green minds you saying Bob Green takes a meat. Bob Green takes my meat, right. That's what I wanted to say. And here's why. There's a very specific message. When you say, I deliver a load of meat to Bob Green, that's more of an active part that's more of an action on my part. What I want the audience, what I want potential customer to hear is that Bob Green is taking this meat willingly, meaning he is the consumer and he is the willing consumer and the enthusiastic consumer of the meat that I'm delivering.
All right, that's...
Go ahead, Bob.
That's the most disingenuous thing I've ever heard.
How so?
How so? You know as well as I do, if you say, I deliver a load of meat to Bob Green, that's an active action on your part. You are, in fact, delivering a load of meat to Bob Green, to my business, and that's what I wanted to have. By the way, I want that changed.
Well, that's not what you agreed to.
Yes, it is. You're not delivering it to me. You're delivering it to Bob Green's Meats and Greens.
Well,
right, we can argue with that later, but that's decidedly different from saying Bob Green willingly takes a load of my meat.
Yes, I agree it is. It's not as strong an advertising pitch.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm starting to see a little bit of Bob's side of this here, Miles.
How so?
Because when you say that Bob Green willingly takes a load of my meat, it sounds like he's willing to take the meat.
Yeah, well, I can say that better, Dutch.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It does. It sounds like I'm willing to take your meat.
I'm not. You posit this as if I'm trying to embarrass you.
Exactly trying to embarrass me. Of course you are. And you're doing that because you are very, very close to Ted Bell. We don't do business with Ted Bell anymore. He's got another supplier. And on behalf of Ted Bell, who's always been butthurt, you know, over the fact that he had to take my load of meat.
But see, there, you hear what is going on here, Dutch, is that Bob Green is rather sadistic when it comes to Ted Bell, and he doesn't have Ted Bell to stand there with a smile on his face saying, I love taking Bob Green's meat. Now he's got to take my meat, you see?
Here, this is what I mean about disingenuous and sadistic.
Oh, wait. All right, so... What in a perfect world, Miles Flanagan, would you have?
In a perfect world, I'd have the message being Bob Green willingly takes a load of Miles Flanagan's meat once a week with a smile slapped across his face, turns and waddles back into the warehouse with it.
Why would he say that?
Yeah, good question. Why would he say that?
Because that bespeaks a very happy man.
No, it does not. It bespeaks a guy... What you just said, I take a load of your meat, then I turn and I waddle back in.
Yeah, it sounds to me like, you know.
It sounds like what?
It sounds to me like you're trying to stick it in and break it off.
Well, I'm not trying to stick it in and break it off, but let me say this. There's a man in Beverly Hills, California that you humiliated, and I think that you owe him an apology.
All right, if I owe an apology, I'll apologize, but I'm not going to do it by way of your lousy advertising slogan. I don't need your meat.
I'm going to use that as an advertising slogan. Bob Green doesn't need my meat. Whose meat is he taking this week?
Oh, what a...
Okay, I guess, see, we're not going to get anywhere, are we?
No, we're not. I'm not going to take a load of your meat.
There, I'm going to record that, too.
You're not allowed to use my voice without my permission.
But I could quote you.
Okay, you guys, so Bob Green takes a load of your meat? No, he doesn't.
I am not taking any more meat from...
You're not taking any more meat from Miles Flanagan?
Bob?
Fuck this.
Okay.
The Dutch Townsgate Show on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show platform. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Bob Green takes a load. Miles Flanagan's meat.